Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Song reminds me of Jack Fritz.
And we welcome back after close to 2 weeks.
I'm sorry.
At the College World Series, the proud father of Teg Davis, who gave it a hell of a run. We welcome Ben Davis to the show.
Ben Davis in studio is brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto. 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. CJTire.com.
Ben, we were so happy for you, man. I know your son ultimately, of course, you know, lost in the Final Four, but we were so happy for you and your family because we know it was such a joyride for you.
It was incredible.
We got to get his microphone on. Hang on 1 second. Microphone's not working. We got to get Ben to a whole different thing. It's like a foul ball. It's like a Rojas at bat.
It must be even more amazing.
I would have taken Rojas out of the at bat up 2-0. I would have said, all right, Stott, you going up 2-0. Ben Davis, proud father of Teg Davis. Hello, Ben.
Let's do this again.
No, we got to move over.
Let's move one more over.
Remember,
we had issues with those two.
All right, well, we got to put
That one's working.
Let's get something over those microphones so that doesn't happen again, where people know coming in that neither one of them work. One more time. Ready for this, John? Let's welcome Ben Davis, the proud father of Teg Davis. Hello, Ben!
Top of the morning to you.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing great.
To yourself.
Thank you, John.
Hey, does it make it even more valuable and amazing when your son is the spitting image of you? It really must feel. How can you describe any of that as a father? Your son is a fabulous baseball player as well. You must be so proud in every way. How amazing was that?
Yeah, he's even a better kid.
Wow,
it's just a great. It was a great experience. It was unexpected. And it was one of those things that it's just
unexpected?
Like, it was unexpected because they weren't playing great. Huh. They weren't playing great. It's like in hockey, you get the hot goalie and then you keep going deeper in the playoffs. They just started to pitch really well and they got some timely hitting and
by your son.
It was just a great experience and we had so much fun. It was awesome. And my wife was able to come out as well. So it's just been weird because I haven't been at work in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. But it's nice to be back with you guys.
Well, it's good to have you. You must have heard from a million people, right?
I mean,
text messages must have been flying and flowing.
Yeah, it was cool. Everyone in the world just became a Louisville Cardinal fan.
So cool,
man.
It was cool. Well, we're happy for Ben, and obviously wonderful to have him in. There's a lot to discuss today, including that, you know, Rojas at bat, the Ranger start. Better play. I mean, Ben went away, and the Phils started actually playing better baseball, and last night, though, was a setback. Aggravating game. If you're just tuning in, let's listen to the way the game ended and the broadcast, because I thought it was really well done by two of Ben's cohorts in there with Tom McCarthy and Ruben calling the game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Let's listen to the at-bat, end of the game. Rojas is up. He's got a 2-0 count. There's one on. There's two outs. And ultimately, he strikes out. But Ruben and T-Mac, before the third pitch of the at-bat, were on it, and Rojas was not.
2-0.
I would really like to see Johan take a pitch here to give put a little heat on Hader to throw strikes. Especially with Trey Turner hitting next.
Nope. That was ball three. You got to take a pitch there. I know you're not going to always get a fastball, but you're down one. You're in the top of the ninth inning. You're the number nine hitter. This guy's got three hits, two extra base hits against Hader.
Totally agree with you.
And when he says this guy's got three extra base hits, he's talking about Trey Turner, who at that moment they were showing on deck circle. Ben, it's just bad baseball in a moment like that, man. I mean,
Yeah, it's got to be understood.
Right?
It has to be understood by Rojas. You got to take a pitch.
And it's clearly not understood.
It's not.
Clearly.
Which
why?
Is why I understood. Thought Rob Thompson should have. And James was telling me earlier, this is not the way the game's normally played, but I'm giving him a take sign of 2-0. Like James was saying, earlier that's usually on a 3-0 count, and I know that normally comes up more 3-0. But can a manager have the discretion at 2-0 to say you're not swinging?
100%. Yeah, at 100%. But
does it ever happen, Ben?
Yes, it does. 2-0. It does happen, but also this has to be on the player to a certain extent.
Totally.
Hey man,
why is he not getting messages? Why is he not getting better?
Some guys just don't have
a language gap.
Some guys,
sometimes.
No,
he's overconfident.
That situation is universal.
Okay,
that's universal, and you don't need a manager to tell you not to swing there. The baseball IQ should be there, but it's just not.
Well, I'll relate it to the Sixers for a second in this draft. So draft tonight, and obviously we're fielding a lot of calls on both topics. The biggest knock until Ace Bailey started not showing up for anything, workouts, interviews with any of these teams, the biggest knock on his game, and John, this would aggravate us if we see it repeatedly if he's drafted by the Sixers. The biggest knock on his game is that he takes bad shots, that he's a very skilled offensive player who has just too much confidence, and it leads to bad shots, which lead to bad possessions and misses, and obviously the ball goes the other way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some players are just so confident in themselves. And listen, Rojas, I'm sure from where he came from, was probably the best player on most fields, if not all fields he was in, you know, through the age of 16, 17, 18. But the bottom line is Trey Turner's a better player. And you were two balls away from getting Trey Turner up to the plate with a guy on second base. If Rojas can just walk and get the other guy to second, and now all you need from Trey is a single to tie it. And it's just bad baseball, man. I mean, I just, that moment last night really, really, really irritated me. Well, look, we'll take your phone calls on it. You know, how you size it up at 215-592-9494, the end of the game, which was pretty dreadful, frankly, the way it ended. Alrighty, AMA, as we typically do Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. But we pushed it back to 7:20 today on a busy day, AMA right now. Seltzer, what do inquiring minds want to know?
All right, let's start off with a question for you, Joe. What are you doing to get ready to lose at golf?
Oh, come on. Did the person really ask it that way?
Yeah, they asked it that way.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you. Okay,
the correct way to ask the question.
All right, let me actually make an announcement. I wasn't going to do it now. I was going to do it a little bit later, but I'll announce it now. John, I just got word yesterday.
I have a question for you also.
Okay. Got word yesterday that we are officially on for golf Sunday at 11:10 a.m. at Riverwinds Golf and Tennis Club. We go to Jaws' course for the hammer to reign supreme. 11:10 a.m., 9 holes, first 9. So, James, let me now answer the question.
Wait,
now
that 9?
Yeah, just, we agreed the 9 holes weeks ago. So right. Let me now answer the question. What am I doing to get ready? As soon as I heard that news yesterday, well, after I took an afternoon nap, I went to Riverwinds yesterday. What did I do? What did I do, James? What
played
did I do?
9 holes?
Nope.
Then I don't know.
I videotaped the first 9 holes.
Oh, my God.
I am preparing. I will be in the bunker for the
no
next...
No one has done more effort to lose something
I will
something
be
than
in
this.
The bunker to avoid the bunker. So not only do I play, I get in the film room! You think Fritz in the freaking film room? So I now have Riverwinds first 9
I don't think
on
Fritz
my...
needs to be in
okay.
the film room.
Well, listen, I grant that he will... No, he will probably win golf. I've already told you that. But I will do everything I can to give myself the best chance. So I'm answering the question. What am I doing to prepare? I videotaped the golf course yesterday. That's my answer.
It's pretty dumb.
Okay. I was thinking about
better that. Than not.
Like, did you golf too, or you just went and videotaped it?
A little bit.
Pretty weird. But, especially for somebody who really can't control their shots that much anyway.
I got through 4 holes in 1 shot. I'm like, I am so out of here.
Okay, well that's fair because it is miserable outside. So
99 degrees.
I don't blame you for that.
4 holes and 1 shot.
Don't blame you.
I have a question about the noodle, the pool noodle.
Yes.
You say everyone was using
every single person,
including like children and things like that,
and adults.
All right, are you sure that you're not just telling yourself that? And do you think
I promise
it's possible that your relationship with Fred could change because of his disappointment that he must feel? For, you know, some of the things that he witnessed, like your unwillingness to just do a normal level of risk.
John,
just
nobody wants to
off the back of a boat. Do
well,
you think
that
his
I could have
level
done.
Of respect dropped enough?
Possibly. Possibly.
Where it's problematic for him.
Listen.
Where he's wondering, what do I do now?
But he's probably already known that I'm a wuss.
Joe is not who I thought he was.
Yeah, he probably knew I'm a wuss. So I can't imagine I'd drop that much. But yes, I did use the noodle, but everybody used the noodle, but I just was not going to dive off the back of the boat.
Right.
Not what I do.
Right.
It's not what I do. Seltzer.
What's the greatest risk you've ever taken?
Probably quit my job to start this sports broadcasting thing. You know, took a pay cut from something to zero. So, you know, probably that.
That's big. Jeez.
You stepped out on a football field against Ray Lewis and Junior Seau. That's a pretty big risk.
Well, yeah, I used to try to, stand toe-to-toe with guys I probably didn't belong.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Junior Seau. Did I really belong standing toe-to-toe, like running face-to-face into him? Probably not.
John, you understand, other than Ben in here, the rest of us, me, Devin, Seltzer, and Rhea would die if we encounter one of those guys.
Nah,
it would be human death.
It is crazy.
Just want to make sure you know.
I guess that is pretty insane. I tried to steer clear of doing dangerous other things because that was contractual.
Sure.
You know, they'd put that in your contract.
Yeah.
They'd take your skis away. Yeah, like I was in ski club in middle school. Once I got to high school, I wasn't allowed to ski anymore. So you just sort of veer away from certain things and got like just
skiing
enjoyment.
All right, James, let's do one more.
One more for Richie. Richie, what would you say to Fred Barnett if you saw him right now?
I guess, you know what? I'd like to invite Fred over here. You know, just please join us. Like where we jump off the back of the boat over here. Yeah. We jump off the back of the boat and we'll try to swim instead of pool noodle it. I'm just talking in terms of the competition we have upcoming. You know, you...
Sure.
I'm curious to see what side Fred, you know, lies on that demarcation. We've got a lot of contests upcoming.
We do.
The first one Sunday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sunday at 11:10. All right, with
let's see where he is.
AMA, we shut it down. So, look, it was a superb outing by Ranger last night, but the whole game gets marred by the end. And to me, there's four things really at the end that really cheese me about the Rojas at bat. Number one is that Rob Thompson should not have given him the at bat. So that should go to either Stott or Kepler. Number two is that Dave Dombrowski, this is the group, you know, essentially of bench players that he gives Rob Thompson. And you think through the years, whether it's Greg Dobbs or Matt Stairs or Greg Gross or Kevin Jordan or Ricky Jordan, on down the line, quality bench players the Phillies have often had. I mean, I'd even take Rhea, Luis Aguayo in that spot.
No. I don't even. Are you ready to go there?
I swear to God, yeah. I'd take Jeltz. Wow. I'd take Jeltzy in that spot over Rojas. All right. So that's number two. Like, this is my group. Come on now. Number three, as Ben pointed out, we've all been pointing out today, just a horrendous decision by Rojas to swing 2-0. I mean, come on, man. Come on. You got to know baseball. As Charlie Manuel would say, know thyself. As Larry Brown would say, play the game the right way. Swinging up 2-0 against a tremendous relief pitcher who has shown a tendency to be wild within that inning. He already hit two guys. He's one of them swung. That's why the dude didn't get on base. But he hit two batters. He's down 2-0 to the hitter. Like, take a freaking pitch or two. All right? He's got to throw three strikes before he throws two balls. I got Trey Turner on deck circle to bat next. Come on. And then four issue is I just think Rob Thompson's got to know, knowing that the player really doesn't know how to play the game as well as like Lenny Dykstra, who would have clearly taken two pitches in that at bat. I need Rob Thompson to put a hold sign on him. You ain't swinging, dude. Rob Thompson signals to third base coach or signals to Rojas, thou shall not swing. It's really not that hard. It's really not. But instead, none of that happens right. He swings, he fouls it off at a ball, by the way, a little high. It was close, but a little high. And then, you know, two pitches later with the third straight strike, and that's the end of the game. End of the bat, end of the game. And it just, to me, was a major missed opportunity. And it's the kind of thing, John, you know, I view this all through October. All through October. Like, Ben, I still remember you so fired up when the Phillies lost to the Mets last year. That was the most agitated you ever were on our show.
Yeah.
And that's how I view all this. Like, I want them, because I know this, they can win the World Series. But there's such a thin line often between winning and losing. Look at the Eagles in 22. Look at the Eagles in 22. Think how close they came to winning that Super Bowl. They didn't, right? And like, even something, was it Sayamalu that jumped off sides?
That's just like, the little things.
These are the kind of things that could end their October.
Right.
So don't let it happen.
Well, it's the little things. And this is something that Topper, as a manager, this is a Rojas reminder, yeah, is something that could have just made a major difference last night. You know, this is an area he's deficient in. Just, you know, like baseball, I don't know, like wherewithal.
Acumen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get in his ear. Yeah. Again, you just remind him of the little things you think are obvious, because it would have made a difference last night.
Yeah. It's just, and I know there's something to be said for trust in the player and all that, but there's also something to be said for winning the game. Take a freaking pitch.
This team can do all the big things, but it's the little things that's going to bite them in the rear end. You know what I mean?
I do.
There's the little things, because this pitching will get them over the top. The starting rotation will get them over the top, but it's the little things in between that they have to tighten up.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Draft day also, who do you want the Sixers to pick at 3? Maybe you want them to not pick and make a trade. As Devin pointed out, the East is as wide open as it's been in our whole life. Tatum out. Porzingis and Jrue Holiday traded. Celtics probably off the map next year. Honestly, probably off the map. Pacers off the map, no Haliburton for the season. Knicks, maybe the best team in the East, but, you know, are they going to trade Karl-Anthony Towns? Are they going to win a title with him? You know, I don't know, man. Like, it is wide open. With that said, I still don't trust Embiid, although it is tempting. It is tempting to say, let's go try to chase that title, try to get a veteran player in here for the third pick, or draft what you consider the most, you know, ready-to-go rookie. But I can't trust Embiid and Paul George. I just can't do it. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Morning, Joe. So I'm right there. One of the things that I've realized about basketball, watching the finals, has made me realize that right now, currently, I'm so angry with the Sixers that I like the sport of basketball more than I like our local Sixers. Mm. And, you know, being that we can't go to the draft tonight and select a new owner and a new GM, I think we have to take Ace. I think we have to take the best available player. And the reason I think that is because I watched the finals. And it seems to me the way to attack basketball right now is with 8 players that are above average, 2 or 3 role guys, and you just go at an unbelievable pace. I mean, that's what the 2 teams that made the finals have. They have 8 quality basketball players and a handful of guys that fill roles, that know their role, and no one can keep up with them. And you know, I think that's the direction the Sixers need to go. And with that in mind, there's nothing wrong with taking another guard that has a huge upside. So, you know, go for it, man. Take the best guy, you know, the heck with position. Take the best guy and start rolling deep. I mean, that's I think that's the way you
so
have to
listen,
the
Paul,
NBA
say this. The thing I want more than anything is the player that whoever they believe that ultimately will give the Sixers the best career. I want to start with, you know, career, not year one or two, career. And that may be a guard, okay, but I will tell you this. It does create a logjam. I mean, I don't – let me put it this way. Let's say they draft a guard and the guy's outstanding. I don't think Maxey, McCain, and that player are all on the team 24 months from now. I just don't. Now, it doesn't mean you can't trade Maxey or McCain or the other guy for something. You can, but it gets complicated because then other GMs know you're in a more desperate spot, and it's just – it's a tough road to go down when you almost have to make a trade. And it feels to me like if they draft a true guard, they will pretty much have to make a trade. Because it's not going to probably take long for Maxey and McCain to be their 2 best players on the team. I mean, if Embiid can't play, and Maxey and McCain might already be both better than Paul George. So it's just a log jam there.
It's true. And 3 guard lineups are tough. They can work, but, you know, it's tough. But on to baseball really quick. Like, I think that – you know, I kind of blame Topper because Rojas has to be, he has to have that situational awareness, not to swing there. He has to. And if he doesn't, the manager needs to know that and needs to make sure that it happens. I mean, so, you know, both of them, I fault both of them, but ultimately, you know, Rob needs to know, you know, what his players are aware of, what they're going to do, you know, and his swinging right there is ridiculous. I mean, my guys at Junior Babe Ruth wouldn't swing in that situation, you know, but ultimately, like on a grander scale, you know, I'm blaming Dombo, like the GM. I'm kind of down on our GM, you know, right now because he's got a very top-heavy lineup. He's got two contracts that make two players kind of unmovable that are quality players. And, you know, more importantly, when you have a top-heavy type lineup like that salary-wise, one of your primary jobs is to find guys that can play that are at that lower salary level, that lower pay scale, whether you're bringing them up from your AAA or whether you're finding them, you know, in the Rule 5 or however you're doing it. And the guy has failed for years to support the top end of his team. And that's why we have, you know, guys like, and there's nothing wrong with Buddy Kennedy. He's a great baseball player. He's better at baseball than I'm at anything. But the point being, you can't have – you can't have those guys going 0-for-6 in key positions when you need to put runs on the board, and you can't have that happening constantly all season. And he's failed miserably to support, you know, Schwarber and Harper and you know, just a whole bunch, you know. And he puts so much on the pitching staff by having these holes in the lineup, and it's 100% his fault. He's had years to do something about it, and he's failed.
All right, Paul, give me a great scene in a movie that's based on a location. Location has to be central to the scene.
All right. Well, this one's kind of weird, I think, but at the end of Planet of the Apes, when Charlton Heston sees the Statue of Liberty and realizes he's on Earth.
That's a great answer.
Weird.
That is an interesting answer right there.
Answer. Yeah. A great answer. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
One of the great endings in movie history.
I like it. Seltzer, you really do know. Have you seen like 700 movies?
Probably more than that. I don't know. All I do is watch movies. Like it's when I have free time, if I have enough time to watch a movie, I watch a movie.
Right, so James, bringing it back to the baseball last night, what bothered you the most?
He doesn't watch the same movie over and over and over.
I will rewatch some, but yeah.
He changes the title.
James, let me give you the Twitter poll question, and I'm curious how you answer. So the Twitter poll question for everyone brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. So the first poll question is, if the Sixers take a guard, who do you think is more likely to be traded before the season, Maxey or McCain? One of them really could get traded before the season. That is really on the table if they draft a guard. But, James, answer the second poll question. Which of these bothered you the most last night with Rojas' final at-bat to end the game? Four choices. A, that this is the bench Dombrowski gives Rob Thompson. B, that Topper chooses to not pinch hit Rojas. C, is that Rojas swings up 2-0 in the count. And D, is that Topper lets Rojas swing up 2-0 in the count without telling him, thou shalt not swing. James, which bothers you the most?
So the first three bother me in general, but it's definitely A. It all stems from A. If they have a better bench, if they have a right-handed bat on the bench, if they have a player you can put in that spot, he's not batting. Like, Rob Thompson, I don't think he batted Yoan Rojas there to, like, lose the game. You know, he thought in the situation that a right-handed bat against Hader was the best option. Like, he was wrong. It was a mistake. It didn't play out well. But the main reason for that is he didn't have a player that was the right choice to go to. And that's on Dombrowski, especially considering that the lineup itself stinks. Like, you have Buddy Kennedy and Edmundo Sosa and Yoan Rojas in the lineup. Like, for me, this all comes back to Dombrowski and the roster.
All right, so it's funny. You don't even mention D. D was the one that bothered me the most.
See, D bothers me the least by far.
And here's why it bothers me the most. Rob Thompson's going to have what he has for October. Whether it's, you know, exceptionally better, minimally better, or the same, he's going to have whatever he's going to have for October. John, my thing is I need Topper to know that he's going to manage the moment. I mean, you know, like, we got Ben here telling us managers will give a 2-0 take sign. And by the way, Ben, to lesser players, right?
Yes.
Not going to Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds didn't get a 2-0 take sign.
Right. Everyone's
but Rojas
different.
Ain't Barry
Everyone
Bonds.
Has different needs.
I need
there's no harm in the subtle hint, the subtle reminder. Or not so subtle. Who cares? This guy needs to do the right thing. Yell at him if need be.
The reason I say D bothered me the most is because Rob Thompson's going to be managing in October. and I need him to manage it right.
I don't think that it's an automatic not swing at 2-0. If he gets a good pitch there, you're not going to get a good pitch from Hader. Like,
don't
Hader
trust
is
him.
So much. Hader can throw strikes against Rojas and beat him. Like,
okay.
I don't trust Rojas to work a walk in that case, even at 3-0. I think I get your point, but I think if in Johan Rojas, you have to go up there and hope you get a pitch you can hit, and at 2-0 is probably your best chance to get a pitch you can hit.
I got Trey Turner batting next. Just get him to the plate.
I don't think that he is capable of getting him to the plate by just walking. Like, I don't think Hader was going to walk him in that
spot.
Well,
we'll see what people think. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Derek and Paoli. What's going on, Derek?
Good morning. Yo, I want to talk about the draft, but real quick.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just last week with the Phillies, we was talking about how he benched Castellanos, you know what I'm saying, that he wasn't a good fielder. Mm-hmm. But in that situation, he leave Rojas out there. Like, what do you think was worse, benching Casty in that situation or letting Rojas go up there?
Well, Rojas, I didn't think it was wrong to take Castellanos out of the game for defensive purposes. Look, Derek, here's the one thing I'll say in Rob Thompson's defense with letting Rojas have that at bat last night. As James pointed out, and I thought about it in the moment, Rojas, because I would have taken him out because I do trust the others more, but the facts are this. Rojas, a right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching, does have a higher batting average than Stott or Kepler against a left-handed pitcher. So we can't act like when we say go to Stott or Kepler that they smash the ball against left-handed pitchers. They typically don't. Frankly, you had three bad options. I just know this. I've seen enough Phillies baseball to know I don't care what the numbers say. I trust Stott the most of those three. Kepler second, Rojas third, period. That's it. Period.
Yeah, you know, Stott would have worked the count a little bit better than him for sure. That's kind of like his strength. You know,
I sure hope so.
I don't know. But listen, with the Ace Bailey or Edgecombe is my choice only because the way the NBA game is played. Like Ace Bailey has always been like one of the best players in the country. Like if Cooper Flagg wasn't in this draft, like I think Ace Bailey would be maybe the number one pick. His game is...
Well, he wouldn't be because Dylan... he wouldn't be because Dylan Harper would go number
only,
one.
Well, that's only by need, though. That's only by need, though.
I don't think you're right about that.
Listen, Derek, watch him play.
Two different things here. You may be right that he could prove to be a better NBA player than Dylan Harper. What I'm telling you is I haven't heard anybody say... Okay. That they would take Ace Bailey, other than you.
I don't mean I'm wrong, though.
Listen, you could be right. I mean, Tom Brady was taken in the sixth round. Anything's possible.
He could be better, but I don't think he would go first.
Correct.
Very clearly, because Dylan Harper is going to go second.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying a lot of times, like Cooper Flagg is just head and shoulders better than everybody in the draft, right? But after that, you go by need, right? So who does Spurs need more, Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Both. They need both.
All right, Derek, give me a great answer for a scene where a real-life location is central to the scene.
Only one I can think of, really, is the Art Museum in Rocky, man. That gives you
a big answer.
Time, really
you
know good answer.
Nice. All right, hold on. There's multiple scenes. Which Rocky scene at the Rocky
when
steps?
When he's running up the steps.
You know
man,
this scene.
No, yeah. Which
puts his arms
man.
In the air.
I got Rocky 1. I got
yeah,
Rocky.
You got 3 with the statue.
I'm
there's
asking
stuff.
which
so there's not a single person would ask which one.
Yeah, they're running up the steps.
You won't complicate anything, man.
Thank you.
Well, this is the second time.
He runs up with the kids.
Hold on, Derek.
He runs up with the kids.
Derek, the second time. Time he's
if
up there with the kids.
Tickets, man, I won't be mad, right?
Okay, I'm writing it down. Rocky 1, which is the second time he goes there. I mean, there's three different scenes.
But you know the
most
statue,
iconic
you
scene.
You know where his arms are raised and he's
Devin
at the top
just
of the
watched
statue.
It a week ago
raised.
And she knows.
Thank you. I've seen it once.
So you disregard the kids in Rocky 2? John, that was formative. I was that age. I wanted to be running with Rock. through Fairmount Park?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
I agree with Derek. You just overcomplicate everything.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Well, he could
win. I can't
imagine
that.
He could. I mean, I was just trying to get, you know, here's the deal. I try to get things right.
You fantasized about chasing chickens?
Well, no, but I did fantasize about being a great athlete, and I'm not, but I know this, I'm better than Fritz. And let me prove to you part
of... What makes you say that part? You keep coming back to that.
Because he's a bozo.
You know that he pursued athletics as a vehicle to college.
I know he did.
Education.
And good for him, and he played D7. Good for him.
Wow. Yeah.
What D did you play?
I played D drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I played day drinking, night drinking, and skipping class drinking.
He said D7.
All right. Let me just give you a little bit of what Jack Fritz is. So I don't know how many people listening right now heard this. I did. And it was preposterous. At 5:55, does anybody know what 5:55 last night on WIP was?
No.
Okay.
No.
By the way, Spike's going to join us in 15 minutes on the draft. So we look forward to talking to Spike about the draft. So 5:55 yesterday after I leave Riverwinds, and I videotaped Riverwinds, and I'm getting more prepared for me versus Fritz, which is going to be Sunday at 11:10 at Jaws' Golf Course Riverwinds. So I'm driving home. I'm in a good mood, right? I mean, Phil's about to play the Astros. Phil's got first place. It's 5:55 p.m. Spike, Ike, and Fritz are about to sign off on the show. And talk about misreporting by Fritz. He totally gives the impression that Bryce Harper is about to play in the game what? 2 hours later. Let's roll the tape. Last night, 5:55 p.m. I could not believe the way Fritz presented this. Listen to Spike, Ike, and Fritz. Ike asked a very direct question. Listen to this exchange.
Did the lineup come out yet?
So the lineup is out.
Nothing.
And Bryce is there.
Whoa! Were you going to bury that?
Well, I just saw the tweet a second ago. See, now, who made that guess earlier? Who was asking if he was in Houston when you said the lineup wasn't out yet?
You were.
Okay. So Bryce will do his full routine today, pregame, take about 50 swings, field grounders, and go through his throwing program. Could progress to BP in the cage tomorrow, but today goes well. Progressing, but Thompson didn't sound like he expected him to be activated in Houston. That's according to Corey Seidel.
So he's not in the lineup.
No, he's not in the lineup, but I think he's there.
He's there.
But that's why I said he's there. I said
no,
he's there.
He said, what's the lineup?
And you said he's there. So we thought he was in the
lineup. I was trying to read while interpreting what you guys are saying.
Shut up.
I mean, this guy.
Yeah, that was very confusing.
That's
not
horrendous.
Great. Not great.
That's, yeah.
I was so
I don't
excited.
Think that has anything to do with athleticism, though, if we're being honest, if that's what we're talking about.
But, John, you got to admit, man, that was a major...
To be
what
fair,
is that nonsense?
I heard Spike last week or before the Mets series saying that he thought Bryce Harper was going to be activated. For what it's worth, I don't think we're going to see Bryce Harper playing baseball at least for another week.
Well, you know what? Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski from yesterday. So we actually have audio of Dombo pregame yesterday. I don't remember if this is TV or radio, but let's listen to Dombrowski before the game and update on Bryce Harper.
Well, he is making progress. He is getting closer. We kept him back last road trip. It was just a short trip, so. So he was able to do the work that he needed to. He's starting to progress now. We're leaving, doing some T work and throwing. It comes down, this is an unusual one in that the doctors have cleared him as far as progress is concerned. So now it's more a matter of pain tolerance once he builds up and how he feels. So really nobody knows that answer. The feeling is that he should be fine as he progresses. I don't know the exact number of days we're talking about. That's where the unusual part is, too, because if he continues to progress and doesn't have a great deal of pain, then he can move forward and just get his timing back. Of course, if he does have pain, which we're not anticipating, then you have to take it slower at that time. So I don't really have an exact time frame, but everything is progressing in a positive fashion.
Despite that last phrase, Devin, I agree with you. I don't think he plays in the next 4 or 5 days, the way Dombrowski framed it.
Well,
I don't know.
It's possible, but
it's concerning that there's no, he can play.
Why not?
Like, he's cleared to play, but he's still in pain, and it's an inflammation. It's an injury that no one really, even Bryce Harper himself, has said, like, we don't know.
He's probably worried.
He should be.
He should be.
It's worrisome.
I totally agree. He swings and it hurts, so he's trying to not have that happen.
Right.
And it might be unavoidable.
Even if it goes away, he could go out there and his first at-bat, it starts hurting.
Yeah, for a chronic condition, you know, a thing that has persisted now for since last season. You know, this is the type of thing you hope it calms down. And that's sort of like he's on this trip with the team doing the team thing because maybe he wakes up and it's like, hey, I feel normal.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ray, say it again.
I mean, a lot of people think he came on this trip because they could possibly activate him for the Braves.
No, I'm not saying it's impossible. Yeah. I'm just saying when I hear Dombrowski say that.
That's a huge factor is my point.
Sure.
You know, he's there because, hey, if I wake up feeling normal, I'm going to try to give this thing a go, you know, go through warm-ups, see if it continues to stay feeling good. Like, I don't think it's I think counting him out is silly.
No,
I think
I'm not counting him out. I'm just not counting him in.
Any one of these games here.
I mean, it's just, there's a difference.
Like
I
think he just took or has yet to take a full batting practice. So, I mean, he still has to work his way
up. I don't understand the 50 swing thing.
Yeah, how?
I don't. The thing is, if you have a wrist injury, it's like you can't be half pregnant. Either your wrist hurts and you can't
play. I can attest to that, Ben, is the only one here. Yes, you can't be half.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you hit with your hands and your forearms. And the wrist, obviously, is a big component of that. If your wrist hurts, you can't play. You can't swing. Period. Like, that, you can't do it. If you have that much pain or discomfort in your wrist, you can't hit a baseball. It's not like it's like, oh, it feels okay. It either you can swing or you can't. Like, that's the bottom line.
So you got concerned, basically.
I'm very concerned, especially because there's no
diagnosis.
Exactly. It's not like you break your leg, you're out for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You put your leg in the cast, and then you rehab it, and then you know you're going to be back in maybe 10 weeks.
I totally agree.
I just don't. There's no timetable. That's what baffles me, and it also concerns me greatly.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. We're going to get Spike's perspective on the NBA draft and who he wants the Sixers to pick with pick three. Coming up in less than 10 minutes. Phone calls right now, 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today, of course, from the Tasty Cake Studio.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.